Yes, Jesus wants us to work together in carrying out God's mission for the church. Now, this isn't an easy task, but Jesus believes in us and equips us for this work. We are blessed with a multitude of gifts and talents, and we're called to use those for God's glory. Now, Jesus told a parable about this very thing. It's the parable of the talents, and it's found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to that passage. Again, this is Matthew 25, 14 to 30. So let's listen now for what God's Holy Spirit will have us learn. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward saying, Master, I knew that you are a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. You know, God has given us more gifts and talents than we realize. And when you think about it, we really are the recipients of a tremendous investment. But what kind of return will we give God? Now, giving a return on investment is familiar language in our culture because many of us own stock through our 401k plans. This is how we save for retirement. And to many of us, this is a daunting task, and that's why we turn to professionals for help. Many Americans, in fact, entrust their life savings to financial advisors who are paid to review opportunities and help their clients earn a return on their investments. Now, because of the nature of this work, we expect financial advisors to be honest, transparent, and ethical in their work. And we're going to do a microphone change. Thank you, Jana. So financial advisors are supposed to be transparent and ethical in their work. But occasionally, we hear stories in which clients are cheated out of their money. Michael Donnelly is a former financial advisor who stole almost $2 million from his clients. Now, Donnelly always told his clients that their investments were doing well. He even promised them a minimum of a 5.5% return. But in reality, he was diverting funds to his own personal accounts to pay for things like new cars, golf club memberships, and private schools for his children. The Securities and Exchange Commission discovered what was happening, and they filed charges in the federal court of Philadelphia. The U.S. Attorney's Office also filed separate charges against him. And in 2016, Donnelly was convicted and sentenced to 99 months in prison. He was ordered to pay restitution, and he would never again be allowed to work in securities and financial advising. Donnelly, of course, was not the only crook to bilk his clients out of their hard-earned savings. We know of others like Bernie Madoff. He's probably the most notorious. But there are other people like Robert Lund, Charles Banks, and Ash Narayan, who each stole millions and millions of dollars from their clients. And sadly, there are just too many stories of people who have mishandled and misused what's been faithfully entrusted to them. And we even see a case of this in today's parable. Now, this parable I've nicknamed the parable of the financial advisors. It's a story about a wealthy man who trusts his servants to make wise investments of his property. And in many respects, these servants act like financial advisors because their job is to grow their boss's wealth. Now, this wealthy man was quite savvy with his finances. He divided up his resources among three advisors. To the first one, he gave 5 talents. To the second one, he gave 2. And to the third, he gave 1. The Bible says that this distribution was in line with their abilities. And I think that was a smart move in diversifying his portfolio in this way. I think this wealthy man was confident that when he would return from this long trip that he was going on, one or all of his financial advisors would produce a healthy return for him. Well, that strategy seemed to pay off when he left, his portfolio was worth 8 talents. And when he returned, its value had risen to 15 talents. Now, two of his financial advisors had doubled their investments, but the third one was so risk adverse that he simply buried his talent in a hole in the ground. And when his master came home, he returned the principal, but nothing more. He didn't even earn any interest on it. So you would imagine his master wasn't happy with the results, and he fired him on the spot. He called him worthless and probably a few other choice names. And then Jesus said that this fellow was thrown out into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now you may feel sorry for that guy and think he was treated harshly. You might think that he was treated unfairly from the very beginning. After all, he was given only 1 talent. And that might not sound like very much until you understand the true value of a talent. In the world of the New Testament, a talent was equal to 6,000 drachmas, which was greater than 16 years' worth of wages for a laborer. Now think about what this would look like in our times. If we assume a laborer is making minimum wage, which is $7.25 an hour, and if we assume that he's working 40 hours a week for, say, 50 weeks in a year, everybody needs a little vacation, so he takes 2 weeks of vacation, and you multiply that by 16 years, you get $232,000. Now, obviously, there's a big difference between having 1 talent and, say, having 2 or 5 talents. But I don't think we should feel sorry for the guy who only received one. All three servants received really large sums of money. And the point is that God has blessed all of us in a multitude of ways. And we're called to be good stewards of what the Lord has given to us. We have a responsibility to use what God has given us in a way that produces a return. Now, sometimes when we look at our friends and our neighbors, it may seem that they're a lot more blessed than we are, that they have so many more talents than us, and it might look like life is so much easier for them. Now, even if our perception is accurate, even if those other folks do have a lot more than us, the reality is that God has still poured out many more blessings on us than we know what to do with. This parable is asking us, inviting us to ask ourselves, how would we live differently if we truly realized the kind of investment that God has made in us? Now, to answer that question, there are two things we should do. First, we must recognize that the Lord has given us something to invest. All of Jesus' disciples understood this. He had given them each something valuable. He called them to use their gifts and talents for the glory of God. He called on them to make an investment in God's kingdom that would help build it up. Of course, the disciples had some doubts about this. And so Jesus reminded them that as soon as the Holy Spirit comes, they would have all that they would need to carry out God's work. Now, it might be easy for us to brush off the idea that God has given us anything to invest for God's kingdom. We might think that we really have little to contribute. But I encourage you not to think in that way, because God has blessed all of us with countless blessings. Our blessings are different from each other, of course. You know, it might look like someone has five talents and another has two, but we only have one. And yet all of us have received a tremendous investment. You see, all of us are vessels of the Holy Spirit. We've been given talents to grow, use, develop, invest, and increase for the glory of God. We're like the servants in this parable. We're like the financial advisors who've been entrusted to grow our resources. And we should use them in such a way that does build up God's kingdom. Now, we should remember that the wealthy man in our story didn't give his financial advisors all the same amounts of cash. He distributed his portfolio based on an assessment of their abilities. And I think the same is true for us because we have different abilities. We haven't received the same number of talents, the same blessings, the same skills, the same strengths, the same brain power, the same social skills. But we all have been given something, and that's what matters. Recognizing that God has given us something to invest is an important first step. And we follow that up by recognizing that God expects a return. Now, having said that, I want to emphasize that it's impossible for us to repay God for all that we've been given. And repaying God is not the point of this parable. God's generosity toward us is simply an invitation for us to respond with our own generosity. Now, keep in mind that, I want you to keep that in mind, because we sometimes make the mistake of thinking that God isn't that interested in how we spend our blessings. Now, I think it's disappointing when talent, blessings, resources, and the like are squandered and underutilized. These gifts that we've received shouldn't be wasted because God wants us to use what we've been given. The wealthy man in our story had entrusted his three financial advisors with a lot of money. That money was not intended for their personal use. It wasn't meant to be spent on cars and golf club memberships and private school for their children. These funds were intended for the benefit of their boss. I think occasionally we forget that our purpose on earth is not just to take up space. It's not just to fill our own pockets with cash. Rather, the Bible tells us that we have a much larger purpose. The Bible says things like, we're to love our neighbor. And I think one of the ways we love our neighbors by making an investment in them. The Bible also says that we should focus on spiritual gifts. The Bible says that we should be kind and helpful. The Bible says we should practice hospitality. Now, these are just some of the ways that we might make a return on investment for God. And please remember that it's impossible for us to repay God, and that's not what's expected. Instead, the Lord wants us to multiply the impact of the investment made in us. The first two servants did exactly that. They doubled the investment. These financial advisors went off and traded, and they saw their talents grow. Whereas the third guy dug a hole in the ground, buried the talent, and did nothing with it. So why did those first two do what they did, and the third guy did what he did? Well, in verses 24 and 25, he said, I know that you are a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid. And the point is that the third guy was afraid of his master. But the other two servants had a different image of their boss. You know, they were pleased to be able to serve him. And I think it's possible that they even loved him. And love certainly is a greater motivator than fear. I think that's a good example for us to follow, especially if we want to multiply the impact of the investment that God has made in us. But no matter what kinds of talents we've been blessed with, we are called to use our resources for good and to see every day as an opportunity for us to serve the Lord. But that's not what the third servant did. He simply buried his talent, acted afraid. He refused to take any risk. And that's why nothing happened. You know, God has entrusted each and every person with a wide variety of talents, gifts, skills, opportunities, blessings, more than can be counted. God has entrusted these gifts to us so that we will use them creatively and joyfully to bless other people and to provide a return on God's glory. And the good news is that God believes in us. The Lord knows that we have the ability to help God's kingdom grow. My question for you is, do you recognize the tremendous investment that God has made in you? You know, when I look into your faces this morning, I see people who are blessed in a multitude of ways. God has lavishly poured out blessings on each of you. And so I'd like you to take a moment now to quietly reflect on what you've been given. I want you to think about how you might use those talents to serve God this week. And if you're comfortable sharing how you're going to use your talents with the person next to you, I encourage you to do that and to pray for each other. We do need prayer. We need to help each other in living out those gifts that God has entrusted to us. So take a couple moments now. Linda's going to play some music. Feel free to chat with the person beside you and then spend a moment in prayer. And then I'll close this time with a word of prayer too. But let's spend some moments now reflecting on the investments that God has made in us.